You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Burson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 10, where we left off last time. Acts chapter 20, verse 10. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me each Wednesday at 6 p.m., either in person or wherever you are, to pray fervently for America, that Jesus will be our Lord and the Bible our book. I also teach the Word of God before that. You're also invited to come each Sunday, at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast. I am in Suntree, Florida, right beside Scott Merson's produce place. I'm at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Acts chapter 20, verse 10. We began this chapter last time, and from the Lord's heart to my heart to your heart, here's the title he gave me: Wake Up and Walk Up to the Third Level. Wake up and walk up to the third level. We know the Apostle Paul was called by Jesus to teach the word on three different levels in Acts 9. He was told to teach the house of Israel, the Gentiles, and the kings and queens of the ethnos. Now, as our story opened, Paul was in a building that had three stories. He was on the top floor, but there were three levels. It's a symbol of your Christian life. When you get saved, you're on level one. You're a baby. You're on the blanket on the floor. You are so cute, but you're no good. It's me, myself, and I. Okay. Hopefully you grow. And by the way, some people stay baby Christians all their life. Some people get saved at 60, but you're still a baby Christian. But we love you. You're cute. Hopefully you grow and you go up to the second level. Now there, you're a teenager. You're no longer totally a baby. You're beginning to be aware there are other people in the world and you kind of look for them. Hopefully then you grow to the third level. And this is where you have been seeking God. And when the student is ready, the teacher appears. When you're ready for the third level, God will have a Paul waiting for you, or a Paulette, a man or woman anointed of God with the word of God, ready to teach you, bring you into the deep. Deep calls unto deep. So last week we learned the mystery of God on the top level. Now I taught it in depth, and of course I don't have time to do all that again, but I'll give you a recap. On the third level, we learned the mystery of God. Number one, we learned that there was a world before this one. The world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6. World in the Greek is eon, or age. There was a first earth age, and that was when Lucifer, that old devil, rebelled and drew one-third of God's children. We were all there, but not in a flesh body, in a spirit body, children of God minus the flesh, and we betrayed God except one-third. The second mystery we learned last time was the seduction in the garden. God sent us all here, and there was a seduction there. Satan, that old serpent, he wasn't a snake, that's just his play actor name, beguiled Eve, and she bore Cain. And he's the father of the Kenites, and the Kenites are the children of the devil, and they're the troublemakers. They are the political system of the Antichrist making trouble in America right now. And then we learn the third mystery of God, which is the fallen angels of Genesis 6. They're called Nephilim. They refuse to be born again. Born again means to be born from above. They refuse to come through a mother's womb, a woman's womb, but instead they made love to the women, and they bore giants, which called Noah's flood. But God had a plan. He had Noah, and from Noah came Abraham. So then we learned the fourth mystery, that through Abraham's seed came the Passover lamb. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we learned the fifth mystery of God, which is the order of the seven trumps in Revelation. A trump is an action, lights, camera, action. We learned that four of them have already sounded and are no longer sounding. We learned that the fifth trumpet is sounding right now. It is a time of learning. But we learned that the fifth trump is going to sound through the sixth trump, through the seventh trump, and on, a time of learning will go on a long time. Then we learn at the sixth trump, that's the Antichrist, the devil with his Jesus costume on, pretending to be Christ. He comes. At the seventh trump comes Jesus. Okay, so now in our story, in that upper room where Paul was teaching the mystery of God, there was a little boy, a young man. He didn't go into the room. He really was level one and trying to get to level two. He just kind of peeped in at the window. But he sat on the outside of the Word of God, and he fell asleep, and he fell down as though he were dead. Now, we learned that this is symbolic of Matthew chapter 25. Those five foolish virgins who have no oil, no truth, and they slumber and sleep, and when the bridegroom comes, they don't even know it. In other words, they slumber. This is half the body of Christ who will be asleep about the Word of God and will fall into the bed with the Antichrist and marry him and not wait for Jesus. Paul also brings this up in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul says that the Lord Jesus will not come until that man of sin, the son of perdition, be revealed. Perdition means to turn to ashes from within and be no more. Ezekiel 28, one of the devil's name is King Tyrus. He has been sentenced to turn to ashes from within and be no more. So the Antichrist will come and many will fall off of him, and his name is death. Okay? So now we pick up our story from there.
Verse 10. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. 11.
There was some life in him. It looked as though he were dead. Now, what does this mean for you? Is there any hope for one, especially a Christian, because you didn't go into the room to get the word, you just, well, baby Christian, stayed that way. You worship the Antichrist. Is there any hope for you? Because that's worshiping the devil. Is there any hope for people who have passed from their flesh body out into eternity, who are lost? Is there any hope for them? Well, let's just find out. This brings us to the sixth mystery of God, which is called teaching in the millennium. Teaching in the millennium. Before we get there, I have to prepare your heart. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, it is appointed to man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Did you notice it just said once? Okay. Now, we all say George Washington's dead, Abraham Lincoln's dead, your loved ones, my loved ones who are not with us anymore, we say they're dead. You know that's not true, because the body is not you. They left their body. You're a spirit. Your spirit is the intellect of your soul. Your soul is your will and emotion. And it says in Corinthians, Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Ecclesiastes 12:6-7 says, ere the silver cord breaks, in other words, you leave your body, your spirit returns to God who gave it. And Jesus says, all live unto him. Now Luke 16 says, everybody's alive somewhere now. You go to paradise, you go to God, but there's a gulf there. The saved are on one side, and the lost are on the other. So understand that it says it is appointed man once to die, and after this the judgment. Nobody's dead right now, but that doesn't mean everybody's saved. So what does this verse mean? In the Bible, the word man has many different meanings. On Wednesday, we're teaching another book of the Bible, and it gives us many definitions of man. Man in the flesh, man of the earth, son of man. This word man means in the manuscripts depraved. This means a man or woman, a person who is dead in trespasses of sin. In other words, that is what we call the second death. In other words, the death of the soul. Understand? You see a little light coming on the scene here? Okay. So, now this leads us to the seventh trump. At the seventh trump, Jesus will come. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:52, when Jesus comes in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the seventh, we shall all change. All of us who are alive, saved and lost alike, and we are that generation, be we 5 or 105, we are going to step out of our terrestrial bodies, out of our flesh bodies, into our spirit bodies. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay. And that means lost and saved. Now, when Jesus comes back, Revelation calls it the day of the Lord. Peter says the day of the Lord is as 1,000 years. And so we find that there's going to be 1,000 years on earth with people Jesus brings back with him. They're called Zadok, and some of God's Zadok here on earth teaching. In other words, right here on earth. Everybody will be in their spiritual bodies, saved and lost alike. So you won't get tired. You'll be in your spiritual bodies. So what's going to go on during that time of teaching? Is there any hope for those who were not saved when they left their body? Is there any hope for those who worship the Antichrist? Let's let the Bible tell us. Make a mental note of Ezekiel chapter 44. Don't turn there now, but later on read it. Ezekiel chapter 44. The book of Ezekiel, from Ezekiel 40 to 48, tells us more about that time, that millennium time. Millennium means 1,000 years. Jesus will be right here with us, and the Zadok or elect he brings with him will be teaching, and the Zadok or elect right now alive will be teaching with him. It tells us more about that than even the book of Revelation. However, Revelation 20 does say that we shall rule and reign with him. Reign means to teach. So we're going to have teaching there. Now let's look at those people who are going to be teaching. The Hebrew word is Zadok. Want to say Zadok?
Zadok.
Okay, that's the elect. These are the people who will not have fallen off to the Antichrist, and so we see they're going to be teachers. He's bringing some of them with them, and some of them are alive now. Let's look at them. We find that the Zadok all wear linen. They have linen breeches. They've got linen bonnets. What in the world does that mean? Revelation 19 says, the righteousness of saints, that's the righteous acts of saints, that's the dot, set apart ones, elect, weave your fine linen garment that you'll wear for all eternity. In other words, whoever these teachers are, their bonnet means they have the mind of Christ and they've not been deceived and they have done the righteous word of God. That's good. Now let's look a little bit more at the Zadok. It says, no wool shall come upon them. No wool. What does that mean? It's a figure of speech. Nobody can pull the wool over their eyes. They are not deceived, not now and not then. That's good, because the whole world is going to be deceived at the sixth trumpet the Antichrist comes, except God's elect. Well, what else do we find about the Zadok? They don't sweat. Is that interesting? This is in Ezekiel 44. Go read it for yourself later on. They don't sweat. What does that mean? You've heard the expression, don't sweat the program. Right now, in the flesh, anyone who is truly sold out to God, not doing it for fame or fortune, knows why they're here, giving that word of God, telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, the devil makes you sweat the program. They persecute you. They knock you out. They make you sick. They punch you out. They hurt you. They clobber you. The Satan puts sweat on you. But you know what? In the millennium, there's no sweat. The Zadok are going to be able to teach without any sweat. You know why? Because in Revelation 9, when Jesus comes, he's going to take that old king of the bottomless pit, that old devil, that old antichrist, and lock him into a pit for 1,000 years. He's not going to be able to disturb the Bible class. See, some meant you here today on radio internet, but somebody came along and invited you somewhere else. Or you were too tired and you didn't feel like it. That was the devil, but he's not going to be able to do that. Do you understand?
Yes.
Now, let's see what else is going to be going on. Remember, we're trying to find an answer to a question, right? Now, Jesus will be there. And the Zadok will minister to Jesus. They will be in companionship with each other. And Jesus will say, Zadok, see those people over there on the wrong side of the gulf? Go to them. And Ezekiel 44, verse 25 says, for father, for mother, for son, for daughter, for brother or sister that hath no husband, the elect Zadok teachers may go to them and reckon with them, teach them, and get them to repent. Why does it say have no husband? Because it's spiritual. We are to be married to Jesus. He's the bridegroom, we're the bride. They did not marry Jesus. They were not saved. Do you understand that?
Yes. Yes.
Now, let me explain something right here and right now. That is not a second chance. But you see, some people in the flesh have never had the first chance. You would think now with television and radio that everybody would hear the truth. No, no, no. God had me found a school. It was dedicated to God. I saw every aspect of the body of Christ. I saw many wonderful people. I loved every one of them. But I learned that not too many Christians know the truth. You can go to church all of your life and love Jesus and not know the truth. It's not a second chance. It's for those who never had a first chance. What about those loved ones who went before? Now, if they had a chance, or if you have a chance now, and you just say, I don't want it, nope, you won't be in this. This is for people who never had a chance. Why is that? God loves his children. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, Ezekiel 44 continues to say, we may go to them and reckon to them. 7 days, we can tell them, get your act together. This is the only chance you've got. You better repent of your sins. And when they repent, the Zadok, the elect, may go to Jesus. And Ezekiel 44 says, Jesus, can I offer a sacrifice for them? Now, in Ezekiel's time, all he knew was offering animal sacrifices, so you don't do that. It means, would the blood that you sacrificed be sufficient for their sins? And Jesus will say, yes, I will forgive them. Is that the great good news?
Amen.
Clap your hands. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Feel better?
Yes.
When it was therefore come up again, I had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even to the break of day, so he departed.
The sad thing about Paul's life, he would be with his disciples, and then he would have to go on. He was a traveling preacher.
12. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted.
They were so comforted. Aren't you comforted? Now, understand, it's not two chances, but you know that loved one you're not sure about? You know that. I know that. We all know that. I mean, Christ in us, our hope of glory. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And understand that nobody's dead that, because it says appointed a man wants to die, and after that the judgment. And everybody's getting a chance. Nobody yet has had to walk into the lake of fire. That comes in the millennium. Understand?
Yes.
13. And we went before to ship and sailed unto Assos. They are intending to take in Paul, for so he had appointed himself to go afoot.
Okay, they were going to Assos, so he sends his disciples on ahead, and Paul says, I'm going to walk. He wanted to go into the churches there and check on the people. He loves his people.
14. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Nebalim. 15. I sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trigolium. And the next day we came to Miletus. 16.
Aren't you glad you don't have to recite all those words? So those were places he was traveling.
For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted. If it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost.
Why was he in a hurry to get back to Jerusalem where Peter and John and all of those apostles were? Because he had taken the vow of the Nazarite. We taught this earlier. The vow of the Nazarite means that you seek God in a better way. You seek to love God in a better way. You want to go up to the third floor, the higher level. And it also meant in Paul's time that he would be back at Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost was when the Holy Spirit came upon us 50 days after Passover, after Christ, our Passover, had suffered for us. So he wants to be there.
17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church.
Now he goes to Ephesus. You know Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. An elder is not old. It means someone who's mature in God's word. The book of Ephesians is the third level. That's the mystery of God book. So these are not baby Christians. These are mystery understanding Christians.
18. And when they would come to him, he said unto them, you know that from the first day I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you, at all seasons.
I was in season, out of season, steady teaching the word of God.
19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Eudas.
The word Jew is an incorrect translation. In the Greek, it's Eudas. Sometimes it means our beloved brother Jew, to whom we love very much. But in this case, it means the impostors, the Kenites, descendants of Cain. Revelation 2:9, Revelation 3:9. They say they're Judah, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. They always persecute Christians.
20. And have I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you?
He said, I left it all on the field. Everything God had given me to help you in your Christian walk, I gave it to you. That's why at the end of my program, Trumpet of Truth, I say, nothing is given to you to keep. Give it away. If you keep those truths, you are so selfish, it's a jewel, and God won't give you any more. But if you give it away, God will give you some more. I'm giving it to you, and every day he gives me some more. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Go and tell.
I've shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house.
One-on-one.
21. Testifying both to the Eudas and also to the Greeks.
I taught the word to our beloved brother Judah, the real one, and to the Gentiles.
Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
Before I taught them the depth of God's word and the mystery of God, I made sure they were saved. When you start to tell people the truths, the first thing you want to know about anybody and everybody you meet, your family, your friends, your work, are you saved? Get them to repent of their sins. That means stop, be sorry, ask forgiveness, and make Jesus their Lord. That's level one, but it's absolutely essential before you can climb up Jacob's ladder.
Yep.
22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem.
What he means bound there, I made a vow and I've got to get there. The Bible says when you make a vow to God, you better keep it or he'll require it of you. But the good news is in Psalm 50, if you make a vow to God and you keep it, he says to call upon him in the day of trouble and he'll deliver you.
Amen.
Not knowing the things that shall befall me there.
I don't know what's going to happen to me in Jerusalem, says Paul.
23. Say that the Holy Spirit witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me.
everywhere Paul would go, he was persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus says that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's such a badge of honor. In other words, if you're not being persecuted because you're winning souls, you're sharing God's word, I don't mean you have troubles. Everybody has troubles. I'm talking about because you are totally sold out. You teenagers, you're witnessing and your students there. You mothers, you're leading your children in prayer. You're winning souls. You're witnessing on your job, everywhere. You go in the marketplace. And Jesus says, rejoice, good cheer. Great is your reward in heaven.
Amen.
24. But none of these things move me.
I'm not going to move from this. I am committed. Commitment is power.
Neither count I my life dear unto myself.
Paul would write in Galatians, I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. Do you understand? God didn't send you here for your cupcakes and your fun and your joy. You're on an assignment. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. You are to be a professional spiritual carpenter. You are to help build the Church of Jesus Christ on earth. You are to tell the story of Jesus and bring in as many people as you can. And even if you lose your life here in the flesh is just one tiny little dot. And you've got all that long eternity, and great is your reward in heaven.
Amen.
You are an ambassador for Christ.
Amen.
Die to yourself and live for Jesus.
Amen.
It's the freest and happiest you'll ever be.
Hallelujah.
So that I might finish my course with joy.
I might finish my course with joy. How many Christians we see, okay, I'm going to serve God. And then when the enemy persecutes them, oh, it's so hard. He touched my body. He made my eyes blind. He made me crippled. I'm going to sit there and eat worms. No, 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 no. The joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
He is your joy.
Amen.
And if you weren't so wrapped up in you, if you are one with him, you'd have the joy no matter what happens to you. I have it and everything in hell has come against me. I am the most joyous person in the world. Why, Jesus went to the cross with joy set before him. I mean, he's up there suffering for the joy set before him. He went to the cross. Don't you dare have a long face. I've told you, your life here in the flesh is one little dot. This is it. Get it done. And then you'll have joy for all eternity. Smile, Christian, smile. We win.
Amen.
I read the back of the book.
And the ministry which I had received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
By grace are we saved through faith.
25. And now, behold, I know that you all among me have gone preaching the kingdom of God.
Now, some of you at Ephesus, you have been graduated. God has called you. Now you're going to declare the word of God. You're going to be a minister. That's good.
Shall see my face no more.
But you're not going to see me anymore. I won't be back this way again. However, Paul would write in 1 Thessalonians 4, when we have to separate from our loved ones, we don't grieve like lost people do. For we know that the separation is but for a brief moment, because at the seventh trump, when Jesus comes, he's going to bring them with them. And we just learned in Ezekiel 44, verse 25, we will know our loved ones, for father, for mother, for son, or daughter, for brother, for sister, all of that. We will know our people. Hallelujah.
Yeah, yeah.
26, wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men.
Paul had read Ezekiel that tells us that God's children, that's you, that everybody you meet is your mission field. You are accountable to God that everybody you meet, that you would witness to them. Now, they're not all going to get saved, but that's okay. But if you don't witness, their blood is on your hand. So go and tell.
27. For I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God.
Every word of God, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22.
28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseer.
Now, every one of you has some kind of a flock. It might just be your roommate, it might be your office mate, It might be your child, it might be your family, it might be your work people. Wherever your flock is, you are to be a shepherd. All parents are supposed to gather their children every day and read the word and pray, because when they are old, they might go astray, then they'll come back to God. The same thing in your home, in other words, wherever you are, feed the flock among you. Not a quarterly, not a verse, not a story about Aunt Edna, but the word of God, because see, you're training to reign.
Amen.
To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood.
Jesus paid a great price for his shedding his blood for his church. A church is not a building. The Greek word is ekklesia. It's a saint set aside one. I strongly believe that in that world that then was, when Lucifer rebelled and so many of God's children in the spirit body betrayed God, I believe the Lord Jesus, the Son, looked at God the Father and said, Father, what is the price I could pay to redeem them, to buy them back, to bring them back to you? And the Father, with sadness in his eyes, might have looked at Jesus and said, the price, your blood, my Son, your blood. My son, you are so expensive. You are so valuable. You are bought not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. 29. For I know this, that after my departing, grievous woe shall come in among you, not sparing the flock.
As soon as God gives you a ministry, God's going to send a wolf in sheep's clothing to destroy it. It might be a nice little old lady or a nice little old man or a little teenager, but it's somebody is going to come in all sweet and nice and cut you in the back. Watch out for it. It happens to everybody who serves God. Don't worry about it. Just know it.
30. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw disciples after them.
Now some of you are going to start saying, I wish I had more people. And so you're going to start preaching things that make them happy. You're going to get that brand new Mercedes-Benz. Oh boy, that movie star is going to fall in love with you. Well, they might, but that's not the gospel. Don't do that.
31. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 2 years, I cease not to warn everyone, night and day.
Watch and pray.
With tears. 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace.
In other words, I'm leaving now, but I just put you in the hands of God and to Jesus, and I know his grace will take care of you. When we've done everything we can, then we just turn that precious one over to God.
Which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified.
In the millennium, in Ezekiel 44 and on through 48, for those who are teaching the Zadok, in other words, those who won't go astray, and see, you could be that if you get it right now, who knows? Okay, it says that God is going to give everybody who's saved a portion. It's going to be heaven on earth rejuvenated. But for the Zadok, he says, you don't get the land. God is your inheritance. Wow.
33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. 34. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities.
Paul was a tent maker. Now, while a laborer is worthy of his hire, and you don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, Paul would take up love offerings and tithes and offerings, because he's supposed to give in 2 Corinthians 9. But he never did it to buy himself things, and he would work with his own hands. He never passed the basket. He just trusts God to tell people to give. I've done that same thing. I made a vow to God to never pass the basket. I've always worked and somehow God provides. When people do give, I make sure that it goes for God's work. I don't get my hair done, and I don't buy fancy clothes, as you can see.
And to them that were with me. 25, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak.
Now, you're supposed to take care of poor people, not bums, but poor people. Yes, we do. And we do that here. A lot of my money goes to help the poor.
And you remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Blessed means happy. You know who's the happy person, the giver. The taker is so miserable, so scared somebody's going to get his, he wants more. The giver is the happiest thing. I mean, say, Lord, give me some more and I'll give it away. Lord, give me some more, I'll give it away. Happy, happy, happy camper.
Amen. 36. When he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. 37. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him.
They loved him.
38. Sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship.
And now we come on the upper floor to the seventh mystery of God. At the end of the millennium, after the great white throne judgment and the lake of fire, all evil gone, God is going to rejuvenate the earth. Everything will be beautiful. Revelation 21, God the Father is going to bring the heavenly Jerusalem down on earth, heaven on earth, the seventh mystery of God. And all of us who are saved, the family of God, we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, the mystery of God. I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen.
At this time, let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my associate, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry, especially after that. What a great word. Great
Thank
word.
You. Yes, it's awesome. God's word.
It is awesome.
Well, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 6.
Absolutely perfect. Yeah, great,
amen.
Scott.
Amen.
That is so perfect. Thank you very much. In a moment, we're going to pray for the sick. But first of all, if any of you are not saved, please pray this prayer with me and mean it. I want you to live with us in the house of the Lord forever. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
I repent of them all.
I repent of them all.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Baptize me in the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me in the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me from a baby Christian.
Grow me from a baby Christian.
To an elder.
To an elder.
To rightly divide the Word of God.
To rightly divide the Word of God.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Amen. Now, for those of you in cyberspace out there, if you prayed that prayer, in a little while, my announcer will give you my telephone number. I invite you to call and tell me you were saved and leave that message on my voicemail. Confession is made into salvation. And now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Each time I ask the Lord for what illness I should pray. Last week it was different things, cancer, I believe. This time he said arthritis. So, Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask, according to Malachi chapter 4, that the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in your wings. I ask the Lord Jesus, healing rays of virtue will go into arthritis on the right hip, that the swelling go down, that the inflammation be gone, and let that hip be able to move in Jesus' name. We speak to arthritis in the right leg, the thigh, and the calf. In the name of Jesus, arthritis be gone, swelling be gone, movement come. We speak to arthritis in the neck in Jesus' name, the top of the shoulder, arthritis be gone. Let there be flowing of the blood there. Let the swelling go down, the inflammation be gone. The shoulder blades and the back, inflammation be gone, arthritis be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Let there be movement, let the blood flow, let the heat of Jesus flow through. Pick up your bed and walk. Try to wiggle something. Those of you who've got a thumb there and the part on your hand there, right by the thumb, it's hurting there, maybe from working your computer or something. In Jesus' name, let the movement be there. Let the pain be gone in the name of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you from arthritis. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Pick up your bed and walk. And we declare and say and believe, with Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Ready? With Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Now, nothing is given to you to keep, so go and tell. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying, I love you with all my heart, and I really love the fact that you love the God I love, and you love his word, and you're trying with all your heart to be everything God wants you to do. He'll help you. I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
Gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember, Christ the Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Tidings of comfort and joy from God our Heavenly Father. A blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same. How that in Bethlehem was born the Son God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and joy. Thank you. tidings of comfort and joy.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
they told me, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum. A newborn king to see, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum. Our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum. To lay before the king, pa-rum-pum-pum-pum. Rum-pum-pum-pum. Rum pum pum pum. So to honor him, ba rum pum pum pum. When we come, little baby, ba rum pum pum pum. I am a poor boy too.
A secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah.
She broke your throne and she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew